We're going to sit down today and review it and discuss it with the rest of the premiers. I'm confident we'll get the T's crossed, the I's dotted. We're grateful for the offer. We're grateful for sitting down with the Prime Minister. But we want sustainability. We need certainty.
An extremely animated Premier Doug
Ford. Yeah, did they record that at like 4 o'clock in the morning?
Matt Gurney here, Richard Crowe's with me. Robert Benzie joining us now from the Toronto Star, the Queen's Park Bureau there. So, Robert, we're not going to ask you what happened to the Premier before he made that statement that made him sound like he's in slow motion. But tell me, what brought this deal together? I know we need more details. We still have to kind of see what the bilateral agreement shapes up to be. You've been looking more at the process that got us to the point we could make any kind of announcement yesterday.
Yeah, Matt, this is something that has been in the works for a long, long time. And yes, Premier Ford could certainly contain his excitement, that's for sure, in that clip. In fairness, it's thanks to Mr. Ford and Dominic LeBlanc, who is the federal intergovernmental affairs minister. They sat down last August on Mr. LeBlanc's cottage porch on the New Brunswick coast, just north of Shediac. And over a couple of Romeo y Julieta cigars, they agreed that there are things that they could do together. And I think the federal government is happy that Mr. Ford has played ball. And then Mr. Ford is happy that the federal government has played ball. Because at the end of the day, and it's a cliche, but there is only one taxpayer and only one patient. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that all the political leaders have to appreciate. And that's why, Trudeau announced this thing yesterday, $46.2 billion. In new money over the next decade. It's not what the premiers had hoped for. They were hoping for much more than that. This only works out to about $4.6 billion a year, and they were looking for $28 billion a year. But to my kind of surprise, actually, yesterday, because I was there in the room in Ottawa, there was no drama. There was no histrionics. They were very measured and conciliatory and saying, look, this is a good start, as Mr. Ford called it, a down payment. And I think that suggests that they're willing to be constructive. And I think that's probably a good thing, because I think they all realize that Canadians, after three pandemic years, don't want games being played when it comes to healthcare. They just want to see results.
Hence the lack of drama. I mean, when you talk about that, the headline is so great. Cigars with Doug Ford, coffee with Francois Legault, the inside story of what broke Canada's political stalemate on healthcare funding. And it comes down to just the most basic thing, which is personal relationships and the building of those personal relationships.
Well, Richard, exactly. And it's like in any field, politics, like business, like sport, entertainment, relationships matter. You cover the movies and, mm-hmm. and popular culture. You know that how many things have happened because of relationships, not because of who was necessarily the best person for that job. But this is one of these situations where Dominic LeBlanc is a very gregarious fellow, and Ford personally likes him. So when he called him and said, look, why don't you come by my cottage? Ford was going out to do political things, meeting with the progressive conservative premiers of New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, and Prince Edward Island. And, LeBlanc's a liberal. And he said, hey, if you're in town, come up. And it was just a very informal thing. We found out about the meeting at the time last August, and Mr. Ford's office talked a little bit about it, but Mr. LeBlanc's office said, look, it's just a private, private meeting. Just there. It's a friendly, informal chat.
It's so just two nothing, guys hanging
nothing
out.
To say.
Yeah.
Two guys hanging out with a couple of cigars.
Yeah. Honestly, Robert, I mean, the way you've described this, I'm suddenly wondering if I have anything I need to hammer out with Dominic LeBlanc, because that sounds amazing. What happened after that? Like once the cigars were all smoked and the cottage had been packed up again, what happened next?
Well, there was lots of ups and downs, Matt, because you've got 13 premiers, you've got different premiers. I mean, for example, when Ford was starting to talk with LeBlanc at that time, Jason Kenney was still the premier of Alberta. Now you've got a new premier, Danielle Smith, who's a little more cantankerous, I guess I would say. And also, she has an election in May, and she wants to fight Ottawa. So I was actually surprised how conciliatory she was yesterday, notwithstanding the weird video. I don't know if you guys saw it, of her
handshake. The handshake, I don't understand.
It's so weird.
Were all the bones in her hand broken?
No, my colleague Graham Thompson, who is in Alberta, wrote a great column in our paper about that today. Yeah, it was like the old wet noodle wet noodle handshake. But I mean, so there were ups and downs, and one of the downs, frankly, was last fall when the federal health minister was meeting with all the provincial health ministers in Vancouver, and they looked like they might get to some kind of an arrangement then. And then the premiers, not Mr. Ford, but some of the others, were a little more cranky, and that kind of derailed any chance of something then. I think, though, I think. It's one of these things, too, that all of these politicians, whether it's Trudeau or Ford or any of the others, they're looking at polling, they're looking at public opinion, and they're looking at long lineups at hospitals, waiting lists, the pediatric situation last fall when the RSV was really taking a grip on things. I think that was really sobering to all of them and made all of them say, it's time to stop messing around. It's time to do something. Now, whether what they did yesterday is enough, I don't know, but I know that the $2 billion in instant funding that's going to go to pediatric hospitals and ERs across the country, 40% of that money will come to Ontario. That's going to help a little bit.
We are all writers on this conversation. We understand the power of words and the importance of words and how they're used. But in your article, you talk about gone was the talk of federal conditions and provinces' demands, replaced by language that said Ottawa and the provinces had, quote, shared priorities. it's the same thing. I mean, how important is this kind of language? Is it just conciliatory that we're just trying to make one another feel a little better so we can all get along?
Well, Richard, you know what it is that they don't, it's when you talk about conditions, especially with provinces like Quebec and Alberta, where there's a bristling about federal encroachment into anything, that's problematic. So I right. think when you call something a shared priority, what you're saying is, look, we both agree this is something we have to tackle.
Right.
I mean, the conditions, I mean, at the end of the day, the federal government does want some conditions because they don't want this money to just go into general revenues that it can be then spent on anything. But the fact of the matter is healthcare here in Ontario at least consumes 50% of the budget. So the money's going to healthcare. It's needed. I think it's a $75 billion spending item now in this province. So that's a huge chunk of change.
Robert, we got Robert Menzies here from the Toronto Star. I guess it was a couple weeks ago where I think a lot of us were expecting this whole process to unfold kind of like the way the childcare deal did, where basically Ottawa would hunt down the provinces individually and pick off the weak ones and then negotiate their way up. It was surprising, I thought, when Doug Ford came out first and said, yeah, we'll negotiate. We'll accept conditions here. That seemed to be something that gave us a bit of a breakthrough here. I guess the information you've kind of filled in here, it may have seemed surprising, but there was an awful lot that led up to it.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, there is a situation here where they do their public posturing. But what happened with that story, what broke the logjam in January was Mr. Ford. We were talking to some of Mr. Ford's officials the day before he was doing a scheduled event in an Etobicoke pharmacy. And I just asked one of them, I just asked in passing, can you guys live with conditions? And they were saying, we are so desperate for money, we really do need the help. So I asked Mr. Ford the next day just to get it on the record. And he said, I said, could you live with conditions? And he said, yes. it was that plain. And I called it conditions. I didn't call it shared priorities because I'm a journalist, not a spin doctor. But it showed me that they were serious and they wanted to telegraph, I think, to Ottawa what was going on, to the federal government what was going on.
Robert, thank you so much. What a pleasure.
Thanks, Richard.
Yeah, great to speak with you. That was Robert Benzies, the Queen's Park Bureau Chief for the Toronto Star.